Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Okay, your teenager has stayed out later than they said they would, or has lied to you about something, or been on their, you know, tablet or played video games when they weren't supposed to, whatever it is, that you have to impose some form of discipline. That is so difficult with teenagers, and the older they get, the more willful that they get. My guest is Dr. Corinne Cross. She's a pediatrician and frequent guest here on Healthy Children. So, Dr. Cross, disciplining teenagers. I mean, first of all, it would seem to me you don't want to use so much negative reinforcement, but taking away the things that mean a lot to them seems to work pretty well.
It does. I think that what we need to think about when we think about disciplining teens is sort of where we're starting from. And I think that if we put it in perspective, it really helps to set the conversation. So it's natural for teens to separate from their parents. Teens are going to go off. They're going to go to college. They're going to live without their parents. So the teenage period is when, you know, parents stop making decisions for their kids, and the teens have to start making good decisions for themselves. Now, sometimes you look at your teenager who is deciding to stay up till 4 in the morning playing video games, and they have a big test tomorrow and think, this child's never going to be able to make decisions for themselves or the right ones. But that's what we're working towards, for them to be able to make those good decisions for themselves. So it's a transition period, and I think that's where a lot of the struggle comes in, because the teenagers think that they're ready for more responsibilities. The parents aren't sure, and the parents also don't always want to let the kids experience the consequences, which is how we all learn. If they go to school and they're exhausted and they fail a test because they stayed up till 4 in the morning, you would hope that they'd learn that that's a bad idea. Now, sometimes that doesn't always happen, but that is why there's so much struggle in the teenage period, because children are moving towards adulthood and we need to let them be ready. I mean, we all know kids who got to college and they weren't ready for the responsibility that came with it. So I think that if parents think about the fact that they're going to have to let their kids make some mistakes and that their kids are going to make mistakes, that it definitely sort of, you see yourself more as somebody who's helping them get to that point where they can make good decisions.
So some of your best tips. I mean, first of all, we would think that we never want to, the screaming matches that can ensue with teenagers can be wicked and mean from both sides.
Yeah.
So the things that you spew out of your mouth, you have to really think twice before you do.
Right. And so the parents, I think, have to take a deep breath and think, do I need to say this? But they also have to realize that kids and teenagers, they are going to vent frustration and anger, and they're going to say things they don't mean, or maybe they mean it at the time, but you don't have to say something back. Like if they say, I hate you, I wish you never had me, you don't say, sometimes I wish I never had you either. You never say that. You just say, okay, you know, I understand. Thanks for that, you know, or I'll take that under advisement. You just have to have some sort of little phrase that you say when they really get to you so that you don't say what you're thinking.
When they say, I hate you, Mom, you're the worst mom in the world?
Yeah, and you can say, okay, thank you. That's it. Don't answer. You know, like, okay, I guess I'm not winning the Mother of the Year award with you. You know, you just move on. But I think that what it is that you have to figure out what the big issues are. You talk to your partner beforehand and you say, okay, we're not going to let our child in their bedroom with the door closed, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to let our child out at this time, so that everybody's on the same page. But then you need to think, do I really need to say no? At every point when you want to say no to your kids, say, what's going to happen if I say yes? Because the more that you can say yes and the less that you can say no, the more that your no will actually mean something. But the other thing that I tell parents is sometimes they try so hard to be consistent that they're not at all malleable. And I know that those are two contracting ideas, but you have to think of the situation you put your child in when you say no. So if you always say that your kid has to be home by 9, but there's a big dance and, you know, it's got over until 10:30, they're going to want to stay out after curfew, and you're putting them in a really awkward position if everybody else can stay. So I think sometimes it's okay to say, you know what, we're going to make an exception this time because you've been good, because blah, 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 because we trust you, and, you know, let's see how you do. So you don't have to be so consistent that you put them in a position where you know that they're not going to come home on time, and then you're going to get into an argument.
That's so great advice. That is great, because, you know, my son with the video games, and please, Mom, I know I can't play during the week, but I got this new game. Can I just try it? And he's like, I know you're going to say no. And I just looked at him and I said, okay, since you got that new game, go ahead, play it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was like,
and then they anymore.
Oh my God, he hugged me. I love you so much, Mom. You know, and so you're right. You don't have to say no all the time. You can bend just a little bit. Now, what about if they really are guilty of an infraction and you have to punish them? Is grounding, does that work with teens anymore? Or because they've got FaceTime and all this other stuff, grounding doesn't really mean anything?
I think it depends. I mean, you can obviously take away their technology and everything else and do that. And that can have, you know, a lasting effect. You want to make sure that in your anger, you don't say, I'm grounding you for a month, because then you know other things are going to happen during that month and you're going to have to add on to it. And before you know it, your child's going to be grounded for the rest of their life. So you want to make sure that, you know, you do something that's short enough that you don't want your child to be in trouble all the time, because then what happens is you really put a big wall between you and your child, and it becomes all about this struggle. So even if they do something really bad, you want the discipline to not last forever. I do find that making them actually do something has a better effect than grounding them. So you know what? You're going to wash our cars. You're going to, depending on what they've done, you know, you, so-and-so, the neighbor needs help with gardening, you're going over there and helping the elderly neighbor. You know, like, think of things that they can do that actually make them do something, as opposed to sitting around, you know, texting their friends. I think that helps more. And then I also think that sometimes what happens is kids want to come to their parents and tell them something, but they're afraid of the reaction. So we talk, like, how do you deal with when your teenager tells you they have a boyfriend? If you say, you're too young to have a boyfriend, well, then they're not going to tell you anything else about that boy, or you're not allowed to have a boyfriend. So you do want to think about how you react to things like that. You want to think about the fact that you really want an open dialogue with this child, really for the rest of their life.
And you want to make sure, as you say, to keep those lines of communication open. And you want your child to trust you. And that's the thing, Dr. Cross, that we have to start from that place of trust, because otherwise they'll be at a party and maybe get in a car with someone who's been drinking, and you find out and you flip your lid, when in reality you need to stay calm and be like, you've got my number. I will come get you. I will never be angry. I will never yell at you about that. It's the things that could kill you that would freak me out.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that parents always need to say. I think they need to say, like, you have a curfew. This is what we expect from you. But listen, if you were ever in trouble, if you ever do something, even if it's your own fault that you lied to me and you went into the city and that's not where you're supposed to be, and now you're in, you can't get home, blah, 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 I don't want you to do something stupid. I want you to call me, because in the end, I love you and I don't want you to get hurt. And they need to know that it's not that they have a get out of jail free card, but that, you know, they can call you if they're in trouble.
Well, and that's what's so important, is that keeping that trust between, you want your child to tell you those things, and the minute you start going at them, as you say, they will shut down, and then mm-hmm. they won't tell you those things that go on. So you have to keep that open. Give us your best advice now, in the last minute and a half or so, on dealing with teenagers, disciplining our teenagers when they mess up, which they will inevitably do.
I think that's what we have to remember, is that they are going to make mistakes, and that our role isn't to stop them from making any mistakes, but to help them make less mistakes and make sure those mistakes aren't really dangerous. So we need to set guidelines, but we have to help them just usher through this time period where they have to start using good judgment. And as long as you think of it that way, then I think that it's easier to think about whether or not you need to say no, whether or not this is a time when they can learn from their own mistakes.
And as a parent, we have to, again, stay calm. You have to have the rules laid out pretty clearly so your teen understands what the rules of the house are and what some of the possible consequences of breaking those rules. And, of course, as a parent, you have to bend sometimes, and you have to expect that your teenager is going to try and push the limits, because that's what they do. It's part of the front cortex of their brain to do those things. So we have to be a little bendable so that we don't break, because teenagers can do that to you. You're listening to Radio MD. The show is Healthy Children. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.